Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waits.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 386. On the podcast today, two gold miners. I don't know if you've seen this recently. I have a lot more articles popping up. And this is time to take notice, I think, about people writing, the Financial Times, other, you know, publications, saying now is the time to get into gold. Because there's uncertainty in the markets. Whenever that happens, gold is a good safe haven. And I've heard a lot of people, and when you start getting this, you know, there's some whisperings at the start. It's going to get louder and louder. Now is the time to start thinking about getting some gold in your portfolio. And so I have two gold miners on the podcast. Not just one, two. And they're both producing. So not exploring. First of all, Caledonia Mining, CMCL. Steve Curtis is the CEO. Now, this is unusual for a junior resource company. First and foremost, they not only have a revenue, they make a profit, and they pay a dividend of over 7%. What's the catch here? This is the catch, which may not be a catch. They produce in Zimbabwe. Now that tag, you know, Zimbabwe, will automatically switch some investors off. But I urge you to do your research on Caledonia Mining, CMCL, because like I said, strong balance sheet, generating cash, profit, and dividend. And if you listen to Steve, a nice, straightforward, honest guy who knows his stuff. So check him out, Caledonia Mining. I also have the CFO of Anglo Asian Mining, which is based in Azerbaijan and is producing, had one of his best years ever, and they are increasing efficiencies at that mine there. So check that out. AAZ, two gold miners for you to do your research on. And like I said, I'm getting more whisperings about getting a bit of gold in your portfolio because things are looking uncertain in the markets. Now, oil, this is what I'm excited about as well. Oil, the price of oil, where will it go next? Apparently, it hit 16-year lows overnight, down to below 20 or right about $28 a barrel. So where is the oil price going? Everyone has an opinion on this. So here at Vox Markets, what we've done, we set up a little oil price sweepstake. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/OPS, oil price sweepstake. Just go there, make a guess, and if you are correct by end of play on Friday, you will win that price in cash. So if it's $30 and 54 or whatever, and you guess exactly on, you will win that price. voxmarkets.co.uk/OPS. All right, and get everyone else to join in. And by the way, I've made a guess. Martin from Vox and Matthew from Vox made a guess. But if we guess correctly, then it'll roll over. Okay. Or if someone doesn't guess correctly or exactly on this Friday, then the money will roll over to next week. So it's an all price sweepstake with a rollover. Yeah! And you've got more chance of winning this than the Powerball. Tell that now. So go to voxmarkets.co.uk/OPS. Make a guess. What will the price of oil be on close of play Friday? We will announce the winner next Monday and you will get that price in cash into your bank. Doesn't get easier than that, does it?
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waits.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Caledonia Mining. It's Steve Curtis. Thanks for joining me, Steve.
That's a pleasure, Justin. Thanks for having us.
Now, where are you at the moment, Steve?
I'm in Johannesburg, which is where our African office is based. And so Caledonia has a small office in Canada. We've got the main operation in Zimbabwe, and we've got an African office here, which serves the structures very well because It's got all the infrastructure in terms of travel and the services industries that Zimbabwe sometimes is missing. We can source that in Johannesburg.
Excellent. Well, take us through what you do, because, I mean, there are some people obviously who know about you and some people who don't. So take us through exactly what Caledonia does, please, Steve.
Sure. Caledonia Mining is a Canadian-listed and AIM-listed mining company. We only have one operating asset now. We have a 49% shareholding in the Blanket Mine in Zimbabwe. And I make a point of the 49% because that's the legal shareholding in a fully indigenized Zimbabwean entity being the Blanket Mine. And that is really important because Zimbabwe has received some bad press, and a lot of that hinges around their indigenization policy, whereby they say indigenous Zimbabweans must own 51% of the equity of foreign firms. Now, Caledonia took the decision to implement the indigenization in September 2012. And we've been very happy with the relationship we've built up with our co-shareholders, which has enabled us to operate in an environment which is challenging, but without the political turmoil of thinking about and dealing with indigenization, because 51%, 49% ownership is quite a difficult commercial structure to get your head around. But it works very well for us. We have a good relationship with four indigenous shareholding partners. And importantly, we sold the 51% to our co-shareholders for an amount of $30 million. And that money we extended loans to the shareholders because they didn't have the $30 million at the time of the transaction. And we've extended loans to those parties whereby Blanket is a dividend-paying entity, and I emphasize Blanket as a dividend-paying entity, will retain 80% of the dividends attributable to those shareholders, and that 80% gets paid on to Caledonia to settle the outstanding facilitation loans. So it's from a cash flow perspective, Caledonia has got a good handle on cash and access to Blanket's cash, whereby we get our 49% of dividend flow, and then we get 80% of the dividend flow to the indigenous shareholders. It is working well. It has worked well since 2012, and it has enabled us to embark on an expansion program because we've got an investable environment whereby we as shareholders are comfortable with investing into Blanket and growing the operation. So that's who we are, and I'm sure we'll talk more about the Blanket Mine, but that's the structure and that's the importance of the 49%.
So when you mention Zimbabwe to people, especially maybe some investors, maybe straight away automatically they almost switch off. But I urge people to look further here because you are quite rare for a junior miner because you turn a profit, you've good revenue, you even pay a dividend. And so your financial, your balance sheet is very strong, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, that is important to understand. You're quite right. People sometimes freeze up the minute they hear Zimbabwe. But Caledonia Mining and the structure that we have with Blanket Mine is empirical evidence that if you structure your business environment correctly, and we are completely in line with the law of the country, it is a very, very good place to do business. The fact that Caledonia is a dividend-paying entity, it pays its dividends out of cash it receives from Blanket Mine, which again is evidence that you can do business in Zimbabwe, you can make a profit, you can generate cash, and you can get that cash out of the country via dividend payments or management fees, which we do both of, And that money then becomes available to our shareholder base for distribution as dividends. So it is, if you just take away a Zimbabwe factor, it is a very normal business environment with a huge added advantage from a Southern African point of view, is that the labor force is incredibly well educated. They are very keen to work, and it is quite unique in this part of the world to be able to conduct business so successfully, and I must say at a very competitive price, because from a mining aspect in terms of Blanket Mine, it is a gem of a mine from the operational perspective, which enables us to be a low cost producer, although we are an underground mining operation. So the Zimbabwe factor, I'm afraid, does scare people. And because we are the only indigenized gold mining company in Zimbabwe, and because we're a listed entity, what we do is transparent, and it's out there in the market. But there is a lot of press and commentary around Zimbabwe, which is not well received, and we do get tainted by that, which is difficult for us. But we've got a good business model; it does work, and we just have to manage the perceptions of the investor base, and that's why we do spend a lot of time on the road making sure that people understand what the Zimbabwean environment is like, and that it is a place where it's perfectly normal to do business and do good business there.
Yeah, well, I think there'll be quite a few junior miners out there, gold miners, who would be envious of your figures, regardless of where they are in the world, you know, at the moment, because you are doing good business there. So take us through, Steve, the actual asset you've got there, the cost of production, and how much you're producing, etc.
Right, sure. We've put out a production update for our calendar year ending December 2015, and we produced about 42,800 ounces for this year. That is exactly what we anticipated doing. We are an underground gold mine. We mine down to 750 meters. The operation has been in existence for over 100 years. Blanket Mine has been operating for over 100 years. We currently produce at a all-in cash cost of about $680 an ounce, and that is a disappointing number for us currently, because Blanket is a mine that has got a high proportion of fixed costs. So the minute you have increased volumes, you get the economies of scale. So it is a number we expected for 2015, but we know that will come down as production ramps up. So we've got a cash cost of about 680-ish, 680, 690. We've got an all-in sustaining cost of just below $1,000 an ounce. That is, again, very sensitive to the production volumes. Now, going forward, Blanket Mine embarked on an expansion program for the period 2015 to 2020, whereby we are sinking a new shaft from surface down to 1080 meters. And this is our opportunity to open up effectively a new mine below the 750 meter level. And over the period between 2016 and 2020, production will ramp up from the 42,000 ounce where we are now to about 76,000-80,000 ounces. Now, that's very exciting for us, because that then plays back into what I was saying about the economies of scale. And to sort of project forward and jump forward to the the time when we are producing 75 to 80,000 ounces, our model is showing us, and we had an independent evaluation of our model, which is on our website, and our model is showing us that at that time of producing about 80,000 ounces, everything else being equal, we will be at a production cost in the 400s, let's say between $450 and $500 an ounce, and an all-in sustaining cost of about $740 an ounce. That makes Blanket very sustainable in this challenging gold price environment. And most importantly, that for a junior gold miner that we are, this expansion project, which equates to about $70 million, is all fully funded from the operation of Blanket. It is cash generative today, and really has always been, and that is enabling us to invest heavily into this project. As we go forward, 2016 will have a production profile of about 50,000 ounces, which represents a 17% increase in gold production over our 2015 numbers. And that is going to already start showing the benefits on the cash cost per ounce and the all-in sustaining cost per ounce. So those are the exciting things. We've got a slow but progressive build-up in production volumes, and it's fully funded. We believe it is de-risked because of the indigenization factor. And it's fully managed by ourselves. And we can paddle our own ship. We don't need to go to the market looking for money.
Yeah, it's almost the stigma of Zimbabwe is an advantage here to some investors, I feel, because your company looks, you know, good value. And yet that's, you know, the Zimbabwe sort of title around it is almost weighing down on the price of it. So almost this could be an advantage to investors, you know. Talking about gold itself, I mean, I've seen recently a lot of articles popping up saying it's now time to get into gold. Do you have an opinion on the profile of gold, Steve?
The current price of gold is brutal for many, many producers. And I think we do classify ourselves in a probably a very small group. So if the gold industry is going to survive, these costs are not sustainable for many, many people. Investors are nervous about gold, so there's not a lot of money forthcoming for gold. But I think there are so many other factors going on in the world at the moment that. I personally believe that the value of gold will be revisited, and as a store of value and an asset class that investors will want to hold through some pretty turbulent times, which I think are with us and probably maybe getting worse going forward. I think gold is going to hold its own, and we look forward to a gold price maybe not up in the 1700s, 1800s that we had not so long ago, but a slightly improving gold price. I think volumes are going to be under pressure. There's been little investment by players in this market, and if the appetite for gold as an asset of value rekindles itself, then I think we should all be in a better space with a rising gold price.
Yeah, excellent. Well, Steve, you know, I urge people to take a deeper, longer look at your company and tend to ignore the Zimbabwe sort of frame that's around it. But give us, if someone needs, you know, a brief reminder, if you could give us three reasons why someone should invest in Caledonia, that would be great.
Sure. Caledonia being listed in two exchanges gives you some flexibility across the North American market and the UK market. We are undervalued, and I think you put your finger on it, that the Zimbabwe factor weighs down on us as it does on many others. So we are cash generative, but we are not receiving the rating on our stock price that we believe that the basic credentials of the business deserve. So from an investment perspective, I think we are, and our analysts say we are undervalued. That could correct itself with a re-rating of Zimbabwe. And I think Zimbabwe as a country has got a future which should be brighter than where we are today. So we see a high probability of a re-rating. We have got, as a company, we have got the ability and the opportunity to double production volumes on a fully funded and, I won't say a de-risked, but a low-risk basis. So that's wonderful for a business during these times to be able to actually invest for growth. And then the cherry on the top is that we pay a dividend to our shareholders who can watch us grow the business, double production, lower production costs, and they receive a dividend on a quarterly basis that is yielding them anything between 7% and 8% at the moment in US dollar terms. And I think that's quite a compelling investment picture.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not a token dividend. It's a big chunk there. It's over 7%, so that's quite nice. Steve, it's nice to chat to you, and please come back on when you have some more information to share with listeners.
We will do. Thank you. We give regular updates on this expansion program, and we'll happily come and give you updates.
Thanks, Steve. That's brilliant. I'll get that on the podcast this afternoon. Lovely to speak to you, and speak again soon, hopefully.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is almost a regular on the podcast, is CFO of Anglo-Asian Mining. It's Bill Morgan. Thanks for coming back on, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Now, where are you at the moment, Bill?
I'm actually in my office in Baku in Azerbaijan.
Okay, excellent stuff. So give us a broad outline as to what you do. I know you've been on before, like I said, but give us a background as to what Anglo-Asian Mining does.
Okay. We are a gold mining company in Azerbaijan. We have a couple of mine sites up in the northwest of the country, and we produce gold through various methods of production. We have been doing heap leach for a number of years, and we also do agitated leach, which is basically like a carbon in leach, but slightly different to account for the different mineralogy. We've recently also built a flotation plant, which came on stream producing a copper and gold concentrate in the fourth quarter of last year. Because one thing that we are finding as we get to know the ore body is it's much more of a polymetallic ore with a lot of copper, so that obviously gives us an opportunity to become a significant copper producer as well as a gold and silver producer.
Okay, so take us through, Bill, the production update that you released last week. And I know that noticed that the share price rallied a bit there, and it's up today, and because you beat sort of expectations, didn't you?
No, we came on with our expectations, and this was actually a very good sign. This company historically has not met its expectations, which it set at the beginning of each year. But one of the things that we're actually very pleased about for 2015 is that we set a target for our gold production, which was around 70,000 to 75,000 ounces. We then narrowed that expectation to between 72 to 74, and we actually ended up producing just over 72,000 ounces. So this was a record gold production for us. So obviously, we're very happy that we have a record gold production, but obviously, you know, we're very happy that we predicted this over a year ago and we managed to meet it. We also produced 969 tons of copper and 28,600 ounces of silver. So in terms of production, last year was a record year for us.
And your CEO is saying this is a good turnaround year, and he's, you know, saying is hopefully this will return the company to profitability. Is that the case?
We don't think that 2015 will return it to profitability, but that is our aim. Obviously, it depends upon the performance of our flotation plant, but yes, that is the aim in the not-so-distant future to become a profitable company again. The company has always been cash-flow generative. We have a quite large amount of debt for our size, and we managed to reduce that slightly last year, and we are servicing it satisfactorily. So although we're not profitable yet, we are actually, from a cash generation perspective, doing quite well.
Okay, well, production looks like it's going to plan and is on target. So what is the strategy here? Is it both to produce more and to bring the costs down as well?
Yes, I mean, that is a strategy. We look very carefully at our costs all of the time. In this respect, we have been quite fortuitous. I wouldn't want to use the word lucky, because it's not very nice for Azerbaijan, but there's recently been a big, significant devaluation of the Azerbaijan manat, and as our revenue was in dollars and a lot of our costs in country are in Azerbaijan manats, obviously these are now a lot cheaper in dollar terms. Obviously there is some inflation now in the country which is offsetting this effect, but obviously the devaluation of the manat helped, and just all of the general stuff that we normally do in terms of just trying to make the operation as efficient as possible. In terms of our production, obviously we had the flotation plant come into production in the fourth quarter of last year, and obviously that is going to be making our production this year hopefully greater than what we had last year.
And even with the price of gold as it is, I mean, is that manageable? I mean, what are your costs, for example?
Well, our costs for the full year were around about what our costs were for the first half, which is around about $750. This year, our costs will be coming down because we will be producing quite a lot of copper and gold concentrate from a flotation plant. And flotation is a very low cost option because you're not having sort of expensive reagents like cyanide. So this year we are expecting the cost to come down.
So I'm just reading the statement there by the CEO. He seems quite bullish, and he seems like the turnaround is happening. Is that the general feel? You're now heading in the right direction, and you've got the, you know, you've got the system together, you've got the act together, and you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is still a very tough business. It is still a very tough industry to be in, but we feel, and this is reflected in our last quarterly update, that the company is moving forward and is making progress, obviously, yes.
Marvellous, Bill. Well, listen, if anyone needs convincing, if you can, give us three reasons why someone should invest in Anglo-Asian Mining.
I think the three reasons I would give is, firstly, that this is a very undervalued company. If you look at the market capitalization of the company. Now, this is something which is being suffered by many junior gold mining companies. Obviously, the gold mining sector is hugely out of favor at the moment, and small caps are hugely out of favor. However, I think there is significant opportunity for there to be a re-rating of the sector. And indeed, if you were to look in today's FT, there's a couple of articles which is saying that possibly it's now time for, you know, a turnaround of the gold mining industry. Secondly, this is a company which is turning around and is heading towards profitability. And thirdly, we are transitioning from being a pure gold mining company to being a gold and copper producer.
Yeah, do
and
you know
again,
what?
This gives us more versus producing, and yes.
Yeah, just saying, Bill. Do you know what? You're right there about the FT. I've seen quite a few articles popping up in the last few weeks saying now is the time to get some gold stocks on board. And do you feel that yourself?
Yes, I've been in this industry a very long time, and the reason for this is that last year gold production peaked. There was a lot of investment and a lot of new production came into being maybe 5-6 years ago when the gold price was very high. But in the last 3 or 4 years, there's been very little new production brought on. And gold mines tend to be fairly short life. They don't tend to go on for 50 or 100 years like, say, coal mines. So last year was definitely recognised as a peak production, and production is now starting to decline. And whilst gold is not a instrumental where you can start predicting demand and supply because of the fact that it is not industrial metal, there is hope that this decline in mine production will start.
Marvellous. Well, Bill, it's lovely to chat to you again, and it seems like it's all going well there with Anglo-Asian Mining. And listen, please come on again when you have further updates, and I look forward to chatting to you again.
Okay, thank you, Justin.
Okay, it's time for today's penny stock with potential, suggested by almost a regular here on this feature. And I do urge you, if you know of a stock with potential, not just a penny stock, I said penny stock, I mean any stock whatsoever, then please go to sharepickers.com and click the link there, fill out the form, and I could be reading your suggestion out on the podcast the next few days. So, Punk Feeling Lucky, like I said, almost a regular here. Name of the company is Immunopharma, ticker IMM. What does the company do? Pharmaceutical Research Company. It's a long, medium, and short-term play. How many shares does the company have in issue? 88.62 million. What's the current price of market cap? 29 pence market cap, 25.7 million market cap. Let's have a look at the ticker here and make sure that's right. IMM, let's have a look. It's 25.25 pence. Is that what you said? So it's come down a bit. It's come down a bit in value there. What's the revenue and profit loss does the company generate? And so skip that question because it's not generating any cash at the moment. How much cash or debt does the company have? 600 grand of debt, split circa 50-50 current and non-current liabilities. Cash of 3.3 million as of the 30th of June 2015. Now, Punk Feeling Lucky has gone overboard here. Amazingly gone the extra distance, extra yard, extra mile in research. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. It's an essay of stuff here, so I'm going to sort of summarise if I can. Number one, in 2010, the company called a company called Cephalon paid Immunopharma a total of $45 million in a deal worth up to $500 million in a milestone payment for a drug called Lupazole. Cephalon was then taken over, and details in the contract Cephalon had to release the rights back to Immunopharma, who now own 100% of Lupazole rights, but must pay apparently 15% of any revenues for the work they did on the trial. Usually small pharmas JV with large pharma companies for phase 3. IMM is going it alone and has started recruitment for phase 3. First dosing is imminent. This should be an SP driver. IMM is currently valued at £25 million, which is less than the upfront payment from Cephalon for joint rights to Lupazole. And this does not account Cephalon's commitments to pay for development through to phase 3 and to market. Yet this drug is now a lot further down development track with various waivers and status rights due to the acknowledgement of clinical need for the drug. And number two, the market for Lupazole is worth billions. Lupus is a massively difficult disease to treat. Drugs currently available have very poor success rate, are expensive to produce and administer, and have severe side effects. Lupazole beats these products on all levels, and if it gets anywhere close to phase 2 results, it will blow away the success of previous candidates. Funding for phase 3 from a US investor is in place, with just final sign-off waited as per July RNS. It is believed this funding will be drawn down as needed. However, to note, the company conducting the phase 3 research, Symbec Orion, on behalf of IMM, have agreed to take part in future payments in equity at a price of £1.50 per share, and this is a premium of 500%. Let's say the company has stated it does not intend to bring the drug to market on its own. Okay, so number three, there's a huge amount of text here, so go to sharepickers.com and click the link, read this, what Punk Feeling Lucky has done, because a lot of work. Number three, lupus is in the focus of IMM at the moment, but it's not the only drug in the stable. The most notable of these is a range of, treatments for, applicable across a range of cancerous and non-cancerous clinical uses. Phase 1A, 2 results were successful and allow IMM to proceed with phase 2 study specifically on pancreatic cancer. This treatment alone, IMM, could justify its current market cap. Further news on this is awaited. So it's Immunopharma, worth checking out. IMM, that's suggested by Punk Feeling Lucky. So check that out. And it does seem a very interesting proposition there. Fair play. Well done for that fella. So if you have a company you think has potential, please go to sharepickers.com. Click the link. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, get involved in the Vox Markets, you know, all price sweepstake. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/OPS. Make a guess. It has to be 4 digits, or even it's only 5 digits in this, but you know, it has to be 4 digits. And if you get exactly bang on at close of play on Friday, you win that amount in cash. You know what I'm saying? So it's a bit of fun, and every week we'll do this. Just go there. All you need is to set up an account with Vox Markets. You haven't done that. But if you haven't done that, get the app as well. Fantastic. Send you RNSs straight to the front screen of your phone. All you need to do is set up a watch list, and then any news released by those companies is pushed through notification to your smartphone. So voxmarkets.co.uk/OPS or /app if you haven't got the app. Thanks for listening. Speak tomorrow. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.